Welcome to the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business practices, ideas, and strategies while we enjoy our coffee break.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
All right, folks, welcome to this episode of the Coffee Break Podcast from Lock Dock Security. It is a beautiful, beautiful day. We're going to have a lot of fun today, and I think we're going to have a really good conversation. By way of introduction, Levi Gray, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is
not too much, Levi just a Gray. Little bit.
I'm customer service. I've got some delicious coffee here. That's about it so wow. far this morning.
In depth.
Yeah. You said don't go too deep. So.
I was merely joking.
Lucas Ward, app developer. All hyped up on lattes. Feeling good.
He's already had his coffee, apparently.
Oh, this is going to be great. So this is our 15th episode of the podcast. I am, by the way, we don't talk about it a lot, I don't think, but we are also, we record this live every week. I'm trying to share it right now. We were having some issues with Facebook earlier. But we record it live every week and on Facebook at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So we'd love to have you join us for that. And it will really be an engaging process. Today, I'm joined by obviously Levi and Lucas, and the conversation. And one of the reasons why I wanted to, I like to have these guys on the podcast. But Levi is one of the thought leaders within our organization, and is one of the guys that I appreciate, who helps to keep me sharp. We have conversations all the time, and Levi is the type of guy that you have to really. You have to really be mindful of what your point is that you're trying to communicate, and because if you're not, then you'll tear it apart, right?
Well, you know,
probably, I mean that's a compliment.
Yeah. Don't use any big words.
Very intentional with thought, and that's one of the things I always do. So
you're intentional with thought,
sometimes to my own demise, but yes.
But it's a good thing because. One of the things that I like around this organization is that a lot of things are challenged, you know, because we want everything to be the best. We want everything to be in a state of improvement. And so it requires the norm to be challenged, the yes. status quo to be challenged. Yeah. And so I like that. And so that's one of the things that whenever we get in these types of conversations, especially in this part, and it's really kind of the origin of how the podcast got started was a lot of these types of conversations. So it's really good to have you here today. And obviously, Lucas, as always, to join us as well, because there's a lot of thought. Now, I wanted to say something.
Okay.
We've got some ground rules today.
Okay.
No conversation about global warming.
Oh, okay.
No promises. All right.
Dang it. So we're going to stay on topic. What we've already discussed with our core values, not...
And yeah, the tension
want,
rises.
We don't want this conversation to get heated.
It's already pretty hot. All right. Here.
No bad puns today. No bad puns. All right. So it is again episode 15, and we're ready to get rolling. Today's conversation, and we started this conversation a couple of weeks ago. I think this is our third episode on core values, because we have, I believe, 8 of them is what we've settled on mm-hmm. at the moment. And so this is the third podcast that we've dedicated to that. Last week was a really great episode, by the way. If you missed it, Josh Norris from Green Brothers Juice was in the studio and visited with us and talked about how their business got started and some of the cool things that they're working on over there. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Which we're all big fans of Green Brothers Juice. Everybody here is a frequent frequent visitor of it.
Frequent flyer.
It's been a while, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I've been craving the A, B, and J.
That's a good one.
Which is almond butter and jelly. It's my favorite.
Coffee today. I'm drinking Americano. Looks like you've got the same over there.
Yeah, Americano.
Where's your coffee, Lucas?
I slammed it down because I was in dire need.
That's,
so it's gone.
That's why it's so hyper right now.
So check this out. Before we get into conversation, because I really want to stay on topic, but did you guys see this?
Yeah, it looks like a...
I was
a,
wondering what it was, honestly.
Looks like one of those things you can mash cookies out of to shape them like the Lock Talk logo. I thought it was like a Christmas cookie.
Thought it was a Christmas cookie? Yeah, it's a Christmas cookie. It would probably hurt to eat it, but this is a 3D printed logo.
That's awesome.
Somebody used a 3D printer to make this.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to put it up here.
So everyone can see it.
Is it going to fall?
Possibly. All right.
So let's get on to the topic of discussion today, which is two of our core values that we have been discussing lately. Again, for context, we pitched this about 4 weeks ago to our team. It's been something that I was challenged on in part of a masterminds group, which is part of the Entree Leadership All Access community that I'm involved with. I actually had one of my masterminds calls last night. And this was one of the things that I had set as a target or a strategic priority for our organization for the third and fourth quarter of 2018. I had told them that I really wanted for this to be a thing that we had in place. And one of the neat things about an organization like that or a group like that is that they hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of months ago, they said, "What's your progress on this?" And I was like, "I haven't even started yet," which was rough. But anyway, so we started working through the process, and 4 or 5 weeks ago, we started pitching these core values every Wednesday morning during our team meeting. We take one aside and talk about it and build on it. So who wants to take the first couple?
I just want to say that I feel like any list of core values that you have will benefit from putting things like outrageous in front of them. And you could probably just put outrageous in front of all of them and it would apply to our organization pretty good. So
that's outrageous.
It is.
Thanks, Lucas. We appreciate that. The first, I wanted to go back to the beginning just for context, because this, you know, some folks are watching this live and they've seen it and they know some of this may be their first episode. So what's the first core value?
Set expectations.
Defined expectations.
Yep.
And we wanted that to be number one, so that really kind of was the catalyst for the rest of the document. Number two was
consistent communication.
Consistent communication, and we do that through regular team meetings. We do that through understanding how we document things through verbal, visual, and written.
Is this a quiz?
Yes.
Levi knows all the answers.
What's number three?
I don't remember. Trust? Was it trust?
Cultivate trust?
Outrageous trust.
Cultivate trust.
Where's the mute for his mic? cultivate trust, and then the fourth was...
Oh, man.
is the ones that were going to be
defined talking. Quality.
Outrageous or kindness.
Refined quality.
Was refined quality, yes. And I rearranged the order of it. Very good, Levi. You win.
He's got version one still.
Yeah, I rearranged the order of it. So I wanted to tackle two of them today, outrageous kindness and courageous honesty. And I paired those together because I thought that they were directly reflective of each other. And I also thought that it was very ironic for those of you who are watching live. Obviously, you know this because it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But... if you're listening to this later on, then we're recording this the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So I thought that this kind of fell in line with that outrageous kindness and courageous honesty. So let's set it up. Outrageous kindness. What are our thoughts on that? Our definition that we came up with is to treat our team members, our customers, and our families better than we want to be treated. Thoughts, discussions.
For one, this is, although these core values are just now being listed, you know, all of these things are things that LockDoc has always been doing. And the outrageous kindness is, it can kind of be off-putting at first, because it's like, are these people really this kind, or is something going on here? Something, you know, strange. I don't know. It's really awesome that it'll work here, because everyone is just, they're just outrageously kind. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and I think... it's kind of the idea of outrageous kindness is to get them to ask that question, like, why are they so kind? You know, it's to not just do something because it's beneficial for you. You know, not even like when you're customer service, which I work in every day, not just not just being polite because it's your job and you can tell they're just kind of going through their talking points, but to the extent that they know that you actually care, and then it doesn't make sense in the business world, and in that sense it's outrageous. That makes you stand out, and that not only that, but as they're asking that question, they're probably reflecting on their own kindness and like, how kind am I? It's really like an infectious thing. It's like a seed that you're planting. And that's where the outrageous part comes out, is if you're doing it in a way that no one else can understand, you're kind of giving away that gift to someone else and causes them to think how they can do that to someone else.
And it makes it a pleasure to come to work, because yes. it's never like, oh, there's that one guy that's super mean, you know, everyone's just really nice and they go out of their way to do things.
Well, and I would say to you too on that is over the years, you know, we've obviously had a lot of people in this organization, and maybe some of them weren't always outrageously kind, but I think that it sticks out, you know, and it's part of the culture that you're trying to work on. So one of the things to kind of take a major rabbit trail off of this, and then we'll come back. Part of this whole concept, and you guys have heard me talk about it for a lot, we went through this entire process for a couple of years about professionalism, and we tiered out professionalism in our appearance, in our conduct, and in our communication. Mm-hmm. And the real big thing that we dove into on each of those three categories was that we wanted to start internally, the way that we communicated with each other professionally, the way that we dealt with each other professionally, so that it carried out to our customers and so that it carried out to our vendors. And so the concept, coming back into the outrageous kindness, is if as an organization we are showing outrageous kindness to each other internally, mm-hmm. it will naturally happen to our customers. So it's not that you're having to fake it to the customer. Yeah. And it will naturally happen to your vendors.
Yes.
And that's really what we want our organization to be known for, is that, you know, you're going to come here and it's going to be a kind, you're not going to come in here and just be berated, and because we don't want that to happen to our customers.
So.
Years ago, we were talking about the customer experience, customer service mm-hmm. experience. And one of the things that that you hit on, if you want to elaborate on it, was how that customer experience starts internally.
Yeah.
With the employees and goes out to the customers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it even goes deeper than that. Just all of our actions in general, they're not external things, but they're internal things made external. So whatever you act on, if you act kindly, it's because you have kind thoughts that are coming out in your actions. And so it's all about that, the whole idea of culture. Is that you're fostering not just kind actions. You're not trying to set up a list and say you have to do these things whether you like it or not. But we're fostering the attitude of kindness that will, you know, there's a proverb that says, "Clean the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside will be made clean." It's just it's a natural, your external actions and the way you do things, and that's so much easier and more efficient and more natural. Then forcing someone to do something that you want them to do, than simply to just be kind to them, develop in them a culture of kindness,
yep.
and then they will just be kind. You don't even have to check up on them or anything.
It's
like
just
that.
A natural progression.
Exactly.
Excuse me. I was just having a conversation about that this morning. Is protecting that. Yep. So if there's certain things in our organization that we like and that we want to continue, it's a matter of everybody to protect it. I go so far as to say a lot of times is I don't like a lot of rules, because rules oftentimes are something that people figure out loopholes or ways around, or they'll find ways to hide when they don't follow them.
Yep.
And it require to have core values is to say this is how we want to operate, and it requires everybody within the organization to buy into those and to uphold them. So we can say that we want to have outrageous kindness in our organization in this room here and walk out of here and punch somebody in the face.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't do something about it, then that you might as well just wipe that one off, you know? So it's that way with all of the core values. If it requires all of us to uphold them
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we can sustain it as an organization. Yeah.
I think you could have also called it organic kindness, so that it's, you know, it's kind of implies that it's something we believe in and not just something that we're trying to program into the employees. And
that's an interesting concept. The outrageous side of it is that it's above normal.
Yeah.
That it's abnormal kindness, you know. Saying hi to somebody as you pass them in a hall is kind. What is the next level of that?
Give them $100.
Put some money in their pocket. Ask them how their family's doing.
Well, it's a good point, but it's something that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Is outrageous kindness doesn't mean that you're giving everything away free.
Sure.
So, sure, it's kind of give somebody $100, but that's not the point of it. Showing kindness doesn't always mean that you're giving somebody.
That's not organic.
Yeah. So, outrageous is, what is the next level of just being cordial? Cordial is saying hi and not just looking the other way, right? So what's the next level of I mean, how can you take that up a notch?
Show compassion. Just say, you know, hey, how's everything going? You know, I know your wife was going through something. How's she doing with that? Is there anything we can do to help? Like, just be there. Just be family. Be, you know, just show them that you're not just concerned with fulfilling some, you know, some required, like, hello, how are you today?
Yeah,
and not just continue. Checking a box.
Yeah. Even something as small as when you say hi, how are you? Don't just walk by them, but stop, look in their eyes, smile.
Hey, how's it going? And by the time they answer, you're already in the, out the back door.
Hey, how's it going? Oh yeah, I'm great. Okay, he left.
I'm guilty of that.
So what are some ways that we can, or that we are as an organization or with each other, showing this outrageous kindness and that it can spill out into our customers?
So I think, like we said, it's kind of a natural thing that flows outwardly. Like, if we're kind to each other, then we're going to be kind to our customers, you know. But I think it's really just not just a culture of kindness, but I think it flows out. And you made a point of, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving holiday. It's really kindness comes out of thankfulness. And you know, I have a 4-year-old and, there's a lot of impatience and ungratefulness in our child. And I don't say that negatively. It's in everyone, even me as an adult.
Sure.
And so as we're trying to teach her and guide her towards being kind to others, it always ends up flowing out of the fact that she's ungrateful for something she has, or she's impatient about something. So it's really, instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do have and be thankful for that. And if you're thankful for, if I'm thankful to work with Lucas, I'm not going to be a jerk to him, you know? If I'm thinking about all the stuff that Lucas didn't do for me that I asked him to do, then I'm going to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And the same thing with my customers. If I'm thankful that this customer is calling me to give me business, then I will be kind to them because I naturally want to return that kindness. But if I think, oh, another call coming in, I don't want to deal with anything else, and then I'm just going to be a jerk and I'm going to try to get them off the phone. So it's all about the attitude of, are you thankful for what you have, or are you not thankful for what you have?
Which comes down to perspective. Are you thankful for what you have, or are you worried or unhappy with the things that you don't?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. Being mindful of that will then in turn allow you to show kindness to others, because you're not sitting there going, well, must be nice, you know. Lucas has got those really cool pants, but you know, but hey, you know what? That's awesome that you got those really cool pants.
It's interesting.
Not really sure where the pants came from, but yeah,
thanks for that. It's interesting too that if you go out into your workplace or into the world and you're kind to people, you'll start to notice a change in yourself as well. You'll start to feel maybe happier and more thankful.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you get back what you put out there. And I think that those things kind of naturally build each other up. So
yeah. And one thing I would add, there was a book I was reading recently, but it talks about goodness is its own reward. You know, we always think about, oh, well, why do good people suffer and bad people, you know, are rich and have all this money and stuff? But the whole idea of it is kind of skewed, because we're looking at why something is good because of the benefit that comes out of it. So kindness isn't just something we want to pursue because it makes us more money because we get more customers. But when, like he was saying, like it actually, there's a harvest in and of itself of when we're good, it comes back to us.
Yeah.
It may not even be monetary, it may not even be anything material that comes back to us, but there's something that we, some reward we reap simply from being kind to others. That is its own reward. It gives us the reward. And when we're not kind, we're robbing ourselves of that reward.
It's surprising too, that even a small kindness with, the world we live in, even a small kindness, it doesn't go unnoticed. So a lot of people, if you just go a tiny little bit out of your way, are like, oh man, that's amazing. Thank you so much. It's great. Yeah. And it's surprising to me at least, because people are just, they're very thankful when you're kind. And if you make the extra effort to try and brighten their day, it's usually given back tenfold.
Yeah. That's true.
Very true. Very true. So falling from outrageous kindness over to courageous honesty, which is another core value that we outlined, that we documented into our core value list, is courageous honesty. And courageous honesty we defined as handling the truth with courage early and often. Don't hide things, cover or keep things from your teammates or your customers, which is very interesting. So sometimes honesty and kindness battle each other, but one of my favorite quotes regarding this topic is from Dave Ramsey with Ramsey Solutions. He talks about, to be unclear is to be unkind. So that's where some of these things kind of tie into each other, is if we're not courageous enough to be honest and to handle those things, then we're being unkind. Yep. So it's going to be hard to handle both of those core values simultaneously. Yep. if either one of them are failing, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things with this courageous honesty and some of the definition is talking about handling conflict, yep, you know, or when somebody is not upholding the core values as you would want them to within the organization. How do you handle it? And who should, you know, how does that work? And my perspective when it comes down to these core values is everybody should. If we want to protect the integrity of our organization, protect the integrity of our core values, then it requires all of us to be mindful of it.
Yeah. Right. If you have kind of a gatekeeper that, you know, anytime someone messes up, they have to go see this one person, and it's, you know, this situation that they're never comfortable with, then it's going to be very difficult to kind of build up that courageous honesty. But if everyone in the company feels comfortable talking with everyone else and talking with customers, and if they're rewarded for when they are honest, then it becomes much easier to kind of to say those things that maybe you don't want to say, or that maybe you're dreading telling your boss or your coworker.
I want to give you a real example of this, and it was impressed me, and it's one of the reasons this is in here, and it is written the way that it was. Several months ago, we had an issue where we had some product that was sitting on a shelf, and it literally fell. There was a bunch of things happening. It fell into a trash can inadvertently. The trash can got emptied into another trash can, and then that trash can got emptied into the dumpster. We saw it all on camera 3 or 4 days later when we were trying to find the product. It was a very inadvertent, accidental thing. And it was one of those defining moments in a person in an organization, and I'm not naming any names of who did what, because it's not about that. Here's the situation is, when it came down to it, the person that discovered it and the person that had to handle it, because they had to call a customer and let them know that what had happened.
Yeah.
And it was a defining moment. And I've seen this and I've heard this happen. I'm dealing with this in another situation right now with a complete other vendor. But it really defined honesty, because at that moment, they had to pick up the phone and call a customer. And they could have easily said, because nobody would have known any different. They could have easily said, yeah, we're waiting on additional parts from the manufacturer, or it got lost in shipping, or whatever the case may be. They could have very easily passed the buck on somebody else. But I watched them pick up the phone and call and say, hey, this is what happened. It fell into a trash can and it got tossed out. And I apologize. I've already done A, B, and C, and this is what's going to happen. And the response on the other end of the phone was, hey, man, it happens. You know, it was not the angry response that the person was anticipating. Yeah. It was a, yeah, hey, it's happened. Yeah. You know, maybe not that exact situation, but things like that have happened before. And if you would have approached it in a sense of, hey, it was somebody else's fault, somebody else lost it or whatever, then it would have been an argument and a debate guaranteed.
Yeah. And it could have come back and, you know, been a worse situation. A fib could have, you know, maybe you forgot that that's what you had said the reason it disappeared was. And they call back and they're like, hey, where's that part? They're like, that part fell in the trash can. And then it's like, now you're suddenly, you know, you've carrying around this white line.
You've been dishonest.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, when you're always honest, it gives you this feeling of, you know, relief, because it's like, well, no one is going to find out this, you know, thing that I made up or, you know, and it's just it's a better way to be.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, like, other businesses aren't ever looking for someone who doesn't make mistakes, you know, maybe less mistakes than others or something. But they're definitely looking for a company that's honest, you know, that's there's just a general attitude of, we can't really trust anyone, you know? Yeah. But so when you have someone who makes a mistake, there may even be lashback for it, because maybe messes up a project or something like that, which you always want to come not just saying, hey, I made a mistake, and then leave, but, hey, we made a mistake, and this is how we want to fix it. But that's going to be an immediate reaction. But in the long term, that company's going to see that these people are honest. They could have very well told us that you know, something, a tornado hit and took out all the parts, and, you know, but something crazy. But anyway, they could have very well lied about it and then moved on. But they're honest, so that's going to create.
Did you just make up a story about a tornado coming through?
Yeah.
Oh,
don't forget it.
Wait, you didn't see the tornado the other day? Anyway, so derailing, but so the long-term effect there, on the one hand, if one is honest, is you may get some lashback at the beginning, but then you're going to you know, create a relationship of trust. But the other side, if you were dishonest, you may even succeed at your dishonesty, and, you know, you fixed the issue for now, but there's going to be more of a distrust.
It's just the best way to handle it is being honest. We had a customer in here a couple of months ago, and one of the things that he said to me was, you know, he was complimenting everybody in the organization of how everything was working well and communication was well and all that. But one of the things he said is, it's easy to find a service provider that can handle the perfections. Like, hey, yeah, we're awesome. High five. Cool. We did an awesome job. But it is very difficult to find a contractor or a service provider that can handle imperfections well. And that's really, I mean, if you're running a service department, if you're running any type of a business, period, I guess, but especially in the service world, there's going to be issues. There are going to be imperfections. There are going to be missed deadlines. There's going to be, you know, damage done. Like, that's just part of it. It's unavoidable in a lot of situations. How you handle it is really a divider between the good and the bad companies.
Yeah.
So that's stuck with me. Like that little statement. How you handle the imperfections makes a big difference. And that goes back to and again plays right into courageous honesty, because it's how you're handling it. Do you go and make excuses and place blame on everybody else, or do you handle it, take ownership for it, and say, this is what we're going to do to solve it? Yeah. You know, that's really what people don't want to hear a blame game. Yeah. You know, people don't want to hear that the weather and this and there was back orders and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. So what are you going to do? You know, I don't have a door, or I don't have my car, or whatever. Like, are you going to get it fixed? And so that's a very, very something that we have to all be mindful of. Yes. Handling the truth and with courage early and often. Don't hide things, cover up, or keep things from your teammates or customers. And, you know, we've run into these situations before where, you know, maybe something happens on a job site. You fix it and move on. But the customer knows about it, right? And you just don't tell anybody. Like, you just keep that one in, keep that one under wraps. It always comes up. And then it blindsides somebody else. You know, hey, so-and-so did this, and what are you going to do about it type thing. And it's like, oh, nobody knew about it, you know. Yeah. And that's why we have that built in, is that we don't want it to be covered up or kept things from our teammates or our customers. Or, you know, if you fix something because it's whatever and you don't let the customer know, they're going to find out about it eventually. It's just best practice to handle it with courage and with honesty early and often. So yeah. That's a huge thing. Again, going back to that Dave Ramsey quote, is to be unclear is to be unkind. So if you don't have the ability to be courageous in your honesty, then you're being unkind to your teammate and your customers.
Yep.
And if you kind of keep those things in perspective, it's hard. It's really hard to reason with dishonesty.
Yes.
All right.
Very true.
Especially if you're trying to keep those core values.
I think somebody that is going to just make up excuses over and over again, they're really trying to make the other party feel empathetic for their situation. Like, hey, we messed up.
Yeah.
You know, here's my 1,000 list of excuses. But if the person making the excuses would simply feel empathetic for the person they're providing the excuses to, they would realize that, hey, it's like, we don't really care what happened. We just want to know how it's going to be fixed.
Sure.
And, so it's, you know, it's all about putting yourself in the other person's shoes.
Most definitely. Great conversation, guys. Our time has kind of come to a close. I really, really appreciate it. Lucas Ward is our app developer. I think I saw some of your systems engineer.
I don't know. My job titles changed like 3 times.
I feel like every time we have a conversation that your job title changes. Is that me? Do I do that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then Levi handles our customer service, basically responsible for, except for the times that he's in here chatting with us, responsible for a majority of the phone calls and emails, online chats and all that. So really appreciate you guys' input today and feedback and conversation. It's been really really awesome. I want to continue this conversation and continue to work through the remainder of our core values, which we have, another 3 that we need to discuss at some point as we move forward. Again, this is our 15th episode of our podcast, so there's many more out there. 14, actually, that you could go listen to. Some great guests we've had some really, really exciting guests in here and a lot of great conversation. Look forward to many more of these. We've got some really fun guests lined up in the next couple of weeks and months. So more to come on that very, very soon. But in the meantime, we appreciate you joining us today for the live recording. We appreciate you for listening. You can connect with us more online at lockdoc.net/connect, lockdoc.net/connect. Lucas is actually working through final stages of our brand new website. If you haven't yet, you should go check out our website because it may be live. The new version.
No, not yet.
It may be.
Oh, when this launches?
Maybe.
Well,
if you go,
pressure's on.
If you go there and it's not, then
it's Lucas's fault.
Then come back the next day and try again.
I can't launch it until my job title is web designer. So
courageous, honesty, Lucas.
We can put several slashes in your title. But anyway, so check that out. There's lots of good information there. lockdoc.net/podcast will give you all of the podcasts that we have. And of course, you can follow us through all of the social media platforms. Just search for LockDoc Security, and we'll be happy. You know what's interesting that I forgot to talk about?
What?
This is completely off track, but if you haven't seen it yet, you can go to our Facebook page, probably Instagram, and our website. But there was a news story that we were on that aired on Friday night here locally, talking about ways to protect your home from forced entries, from kick-ins, which was a really, really cool honor to be able to participate in that. It was one of those things where when they contacted us, I was like, is this real? You know?
And so then you want us to kick in a door?
Yeah, you want us to come kick in a door and tell you how to fix it, you know? And then from there, it was like, well, is it actually going to air? And then it finally did. So that was really cool. So if you haven't seen that yet, go check it out on all of our social media platforms.
Awesome. Karate specialist Josh Smith with the kicks. Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. We talked about it a lot. We've seen this before. We've dealt with and we've done reinforcement, but we have never kicked in a door. That's just not really part of what we do. You know,
should be.
We're there to repair and to protect, not to be the forced entry person. So when we watched him do it and how quick it happened with one kick, I mean it surprised Josh. It surprised all of us. We were just like, whoa. Anyways, you should go check it out. It's pretty cool deal there, and that's all on all of our social media. We've got to wrap things up. Appreciate your time today. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Coffee Break with Lock Dock Security.
We got so much to say, we got a podcast to make, we're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
Coffee Break is brought to you by Lock Dock Security. Connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube for more information, just like you heard today.